My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin.
Hello. Welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I am overjoyed to be with you today. So in today's episode, we are talking about what to do when your dating partner, your relationship partner goes no contact with you. So this could be someone that you are dating casually, someone that you are really excited about, and then all of a sudden they go ghost. This could also be someone that you've been dating for a long time, and all of a sudden there's radio silence, and it is very hurtful, and you don't know why or where this is coming from, and they're not responsive to answering you why. It could be someone that you are in the middle of, like, about to make things official, and maybe they're not completely going no contact, but they are really busy all of a sudden. They tell you that they have a lot of work going on or that they're going to be gone for a little bit. And the ways that they are communicating is less intentional than it used to be before, because you've been having such a good set of communication patterns up until now. You're thinking, well, maybe this is a me thing, and your defenses are down and you're trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, but they are not being responsive to your needs. And so, again, you're dealing with a whole lot of sadness, grief, frustration, confusion, and wondering what's gone wrong. And because you're already invested in this relationship, and all of these examples and also examples that are adjacent to this, because you're already invested, it's a lot harder for you to have clarity around, wait, this isn't them thing. This is a breadcrumbing thing. This is them not treating me in the way that I love and deserve, because you have so many other great examples where you did feel good, where you did feel like they were showing up. And so it's hard to not take this to heart. And it's hard not to wonder what your part in this is, if it exists at all, right? So all of these things are the things we're going to be talking about today, and how to cope when you have a partner that shows up in this way. And some tips I'm going to give you to work through this. This is specifically going to be for those of us who might be dating people who are intentionally being avoidant in a way to manipulate you and get them what they want from you, to get your defenses down even more. That's where I'm going to focus mostly in this episode. I may say a few things around those of us who have someone that we deeply love, but they've decided to cut contact with us. So we talk about no contact all the time, and you letting go of people that you think are toxic. What happens when that person, the person that you love, unexpectedly or expectedly, goes no contact with you? And now you're left with just holding one side of a rope that's been cut off, right? And not really having anything tethered to them, and not being able to connect to them, and they're not open to talk to you. What mean that comes with that, right? So I might talk a little bit about that. The grieving process for both of these have overlaps, but I want to put more people on game for the first example, because I think the first example is what gets a lot of us caught up in relationships longer than we need to be with people that are showing signs of being neglectful. But again, because we're already in love or on our way to being in love, it's hard for us to see that. So that's where I want to focus, but I will talk about the other part a little bit, hopefully. Okay. So with that said, let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Okay. So like I said, I want to talk about when no contact is used as a dating strategy. For those of us who are dating someone, we're really liking them, and then all of a sudden they go ghost to get really busy. Now, this came on my radar. I mean, I've already seen this before, but this came on my radar to the point where I was like, I want to talk about this as its own individual podcast, because I was watching some TikTok and this woman had stitch or shown video of this guy. I guess he has a YouTube channel. She didn't post his actual username, which I guess is a good thing because he doesn't get promotion. But also I was like, I want to see what else this mother sucker is saying, right? So basically this video is giving pickup tips to men and dating, like dating strategies to help them reel in women and make them want them. Strategies that he is teaching, though, is teaching how to make your attention and your time scarce, because it's going to help the woman come and chase them, the men, to wonder what's wrong, right? So, and I can't find the video. I spent some time trying to find the video before I got on here. I thought I had bookmarked it in my TikTok library, but I don't know if the video has been removed and it'll take too long for me to search. But he gave a certain set of time to go completely no contact. So he says specifically in the video, this isn't about you just spacing out your communication with her. It's about you saying, hey, I'm really busy with work. And so for 3 to 4 days, you're completely out of the picture, right? You're not giving her the same amount of time and attention that she wants. And both him and all these little testimonials he shared in his video, and then also the ones in the comments were like, yeah, this definitely works. You know, I was dating this really accomplished and, you know, really successful woman, and I did this for like a week, and then she started texting me saying that she felt a lot of feelings and she felt really confused. And, you know, similar feedback from all these men that are the most obvious red flags for us to avoid. But yet here they are. Here we are. Okay. So, but they're being equipped with all these tools to know how to pull women, pull partners in and exploit those insecurities. So this is what I want to talk about today, because I think some of us give grace to men, for those of us who date men, or really anyone, but especially men. We can give grace to men who are exhibiting qualities of bad behavior. But if or when they are able to get us to a place where we feel emotionally connected to them and feel intertwined with them, they are able to take that overconnection to them, exploit it for their will, and to get us groomed, trained, adapted to their breadcrumbing and less than honoring behavior. You know, I've said this here before. I've repeated this from other people that I've heard say this, I think it's just so true. With men, when a man meets a woman, she starts off at zero. Even if he's attracted to her, she starts off at zero, and she needs to show by actions, by their chemistry, by how they connect or not connect, whether or not she's going to move up to 100, whether or not she's going to move up to the level of trust that he needs and wants to be in relationship with her, to be able to commit to her. A woman typically starts with 100. If a man seems like he has everything that he has on paper, that she wants on paper, the looks, the career, the charisma, the manners, if he can talk about values, if he's funny, right? If he says he has a good relationship with family, like if all these things are said or presented from the jump, then he starts off at 100. And then it's over time that he loses trust. And that is a very dangerous and precarious place to be, because in what I'm explaining right now with these type of pickup strategies and these types of manipulation tactics, if you start off with 100, thinking that this person in front of you is an amazing person, a nice guy, he can never be manipulative. He can never have any ulterior motives. He is just having a bad day. Like that's where your brain goes to. It's not that maybe this person came in with the desire to maybe love bomb me, especially if they're a narcissist, or to start off by showing me their representative. When all of us date, we all start off showing our best face and our best presentation to people, right? I think that's just normal. I mean, because you like the person, because you are wanting to be mindful about the experience that both of y'all are having, you start off putting your best foot forward. So that happens across the board, whether or not someone is a manipulator or not. That's just what dating is. Hopefully you're going into dates with putting your best foot forward and not coming in guns blazing with all of your traumas and tragedies and issues from the first conversation, because you may be attracting other people who like that type of energy. You want to attract people that you can enjoy, that you can have a conversation with, that doesn't always have to go low. It doesn't always have to go to the deepest depths of our traumas together, that we can have a good time without trauma bonding, right? That's the kind of relationship that you want. But when you are starting off, like I said, at a hunter with people, it's very, very hard for you to pay attention to some of these red flags because it's easier for you to discount them versus starting lower, you know, even if it's not zero, starting at 50 so that you know, okay, this person I'm dating, I really like them. I think they're really amazing. I think we have a lot of great things in common, but it can go either way. Either he can lose points or we can add points to it. You know, I really love using point systems. Obviously, I've talked about it in recent podcasts as I've talked about the book that I wrote about how to pick partners. But the reason why I like the point system is so much of the dating process for those of us who are love addicts is emotional. So because I feel it, it must be true. Because I feel like this is a God-given thing, like I'm going to go forward. Because I feel like I really enjoy myself when I'm around them, I'm going to go forward. Because I really like how they felt when they texted me back when I was having a hard time, then I'm going to go forward. In spite of maybe some very clear markers that this is a dangerous person in a dangerous relationship, okay? This is all setting the stage because I want y'all to understand that when someone goes no contact, it doesn't mean that there is something wrong with you. It could be that this was a strategy that was employed from the beginning, whether or not it was knowing or not. Some people do this because they are studying pickup artists and, you know, red pill people on the internet, and that is their strategy. Some people, this is how they are, not because they're studying those folks, but this is how they have learned to build relationships that benefit them the most, to make women be placeholders for them, to make women be something that they choose to pick up when they want to or not when they don't want to, right? That they have made women, even if they're not necessarily dating other people, but to make women that they're dating almost the side pieces to their everyday life. And this is a different thing than a man who has a full life, a man who is busy, has hobbies, has friends, has things that he likes to do. You know, someone who's genuinely busy, when he is there and available for you, he's going to be fully present. When he is not able to be there, he is going to be texting you, checking in on you, sending you little gifts to remind you that you are on his mind. He is going to be planning ahead of time saying, hey, I'm about to be out of town for these amount of days and these things are going on. How can we schedule some phone date time? How can we schedule some time when we get back? Can I get on your calendar? He's not going to be like, okay, I'm going to be busy and then disappear for days on end. That doesn't happen. He's not going to come back and say, oh, wow, you know, things were just busy with work, or I had a lot of things going on. I bet he did. Her name might be Tasha, right? Like, or Steve, like, you know, we don't discriminate here. It can be anybody, right? Or it could be anything, but whatever it is, it's not you. And you don't want to get into relationships with people, especially if this is at the beginning where this is the norm. Because if you learn to accommodate and take this distance and this non-attentive behavior at the beginning, it sets the stage for later on that this could be commonplace, that you need to be the understanding, doting girlfriend, wife, partner, where you feel neglected, but you can't say anything because you're trying to be understanding, you're trying to be patient, right? You're also an independent woman. You've been working on your self-love, so you're focused on you, right? So you have all these different voices and all these different standards, including your own, that make you feel like when you are in relationships with people who are emotionally and physically neglectful towards you, you have all these voices, healthy and not healthy, that are telling you, well, maybe what you're asking for is unreasonable or too much. When actually you're in a relationship with someone that you should feel safe with, you should be in relationships with people that are their priority is to make sure that you know that you're wanted, that you are cherished, that you are important, and that they're not going to go ahead and fully disappear on you like that when it's convenient for them. That they are not going to treat you as if you are their latest hyperfixation. For those of us who are neurodivergent and are used to picking up hobbies, getting really all into it for a couple of weeks and then, you know, putting it down until maybe we think about it later, right? You are not the flavor of the week. You're not the flavor of the month. Okay. So for this, people who intentionally go into no contact in order to exploit your insecurities, I wanted to name what those insecurities are for you to be aware of it whenever it's coming up for you. You know, you may be listening to this podcast and say, I really don't care about someone who is distant. In fact, you might even prefer it. But there may be some insecurities that I'm about to list that you can relate to and that are exploited in different ways in relationships. And so if that's the case, I'll go ahead and be mindful of these for the future. Okay. So the first one is if you're trying to cope when you have a dating partner that goes no contact with you, one insecurity that he, she, or they may be trying to exploit in you is desperation. So a fear of missing out, a fear of missing your chance, a fear of missing out on the one. If you have any desperation around finding a partner, finding love, finding future connection, you can and will be in relationships with people who will exploit that. Absolutely. Now, notice when I was saying this guy who made that video, whatever his YouTube channel is, about dating and he was sharing his testimonials. I mentioned one, but there were a few. That's another reason why I wish that I could find the original video. But these men were specifically using language to indicate that the women that they were using these strategies on, where it worked, were women who had a lot going on. They were beautiful. They were tens. They were accomplished, right? They had everything in the world going on. And so when this scrubby guy, I'm just imagining these scrubby people, whether or not physically scrubby or just, again, just like in their energy and their intention, because anyone who's manipulating you, for any of y'all who are like really connected to your intuition and your discernment, or even those of you, I think most people are, and I think we just learn how to deny it. But if you've ever got a feeling around someone who's just icky, right? Like they're smiling at you in your face. And they seem like they're asking you genuine questions about you, but you know, like there's just something off about what's happening here, right? So I just imagine men who have this type of energy, whether or not they are charming or suave, they're just like, I really don't like how this experience is going. And you might entertain it again because they're cute or whatever, or, you know, they're marking off other things on your list, but it's just something is off. So these really amazing women will get into relationships with these people. I'll just say people because I can't see them and I've not met them. But they'll get in relationships with these people. And even though they have everything in the world, they can walk into any room and get anyone that they want. They are better than the person on the other end because he recognizes it. She still will chase after him. He has been nice or kind or complimentary. For this, I kind of doubt it. Like, I wonder if there might even be some negging going on, which is another strategy for pickup artists. I have another podcast episode where I talk about negging, which is basically where someone gives you a backhanded compliment. They'll say something like, hey, they're so proud of you for being their nursing girlfriend when really you're a doctor. Saying how, oh, wow, your hair looks so great today. He wishes that more women would be brave enough to wear their hair like you do and to really put themselves out there and be different and go with the crowd, right? So you're starting off with a compliment, but really it's like, wait, do I look crazy out here? And are other people walking around thinking that I'm looking unkempt or that I'm not standing out in the way that I want to stand out? And then with the first one, it's complimenting your career in the medical field, but doing a career, exchanging it consistently, especially if they do it consistently, and especially in a context and in a situation where it seems like they're trying to demean your work. Now, we all know nurses run the yard, right? So if a person was trying to do this, that makes them foolish to try to act as if one career is less than or better than the other in this area. But if in the context of the situation, the conversation, if they keep doing this consistently, then you can know, this isn't just a harmless mistake. This is them joking. You can't see my air quotes, but this is them joking by comparing you to other people, insulting you, but making it seem like it's giving constructive criticism, always trying to one-up you. I'm disguising insults for you as questions and, you know, making you feel sorry if you say that you don't like how they're talking to you and everything else, making it seem like it's yours. So it's very hard for me to believe that a person who's going to use this type of pickup strategy to get a woman to fawn over him is nice all of the time, that he is super loving, doting, and everything without a little twinge of pain that goes along with it, but it does exist, right? I've had many students who have been dating someone who they have really been on the verge of letting the walls down and falling for them, and things are going really great, and then they all of a sudden disappear. And, you know, they want to say later on that they got busy and so they feel really caught off guard, right? So this isn't all the time, but it's definitely some of the time. But back to the point, if you are at a place where you really feel like time is ticking, you're getting older, or this is a person you finally decided to let someone in again, and you took a chance on this one and everything was going well, he, they, she will exploit your fear of missing out on love, because they will see that people who are disrespecting you know when they're disrespecting you. This is something that I wish I would have started the episode with this. People who are disrespecting you, neglecting you, and taking advantage of you, they know. And if they are not aware of it when they're doing it, let's say it really is an oversight, right? When you come back and you accept their apology too quickly, when you come back and you apologize to them for you being out of place for the bad behavior that they did, it signals to them that, wow, that's kind of crazy. That makes no sense. One, you had nothing to do with the reason why I was acting the way that I was doing that. First, we're in the best circumstances. You aren't even on this person's radar. They were just trying to emotionally cope or do whatever they needed to do to get through whatever situation they were working through. And it wasn't really about you. And maybe part of the skills that they have to learn in relationships is how to make space for the people that they're with, right? To not be so self-focused on what they need in the moment, but to realize that there is another partner that they are in relationship with. So that's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario, which is going to the other extreme of someone who is a narcissist, they see, oh, great, that this one's going to be easy, right? All I have to do is dangle the carrot of attention and time and disappear, and she's going to come and do all the work for me. And I can just say, yeah, thank you for apologizing, because that was really hard. And now we've built a cycle where you are the problem. And this leads into the second insecurity that leads into this being an issue for a lot of people. Is so many of us grew up thinking that we were a problem and a burden. So many of us grew up in relationships, family relationships, friendships or otherwise, thinking and believing that we were a problem and a burden. And people treated us as much, right? So every time we made our needs small or non-existent, we got praised for that, right? And so you having a need of attention and time makes you feel as if you're asking for too much. Right. And so a person who can sense that can exploit it and use it to their advantage. Right. And remind you of how what you're asking for is unreasonable. And instead of you pushing back, you'll be like, yeah, I can see that. Right. When the next person walking down the street who's a little bit more securely attached and grounded what they need, and then they're not ashamed for wanting attention. They're not ashamed for wanting time. They're not ashamed for wanting princess doting treatment and everything. You'll watch these type of women and be like, how did they get that? Like, I could never ask for that. And depending on where you are in your process, you might resent those type of women. You might say in your head, well, that doesn't exist. You know, relationships aren't that easy. You might say that I bet that there's really bad things happening in the background, whatever you need to say to make yourself feel better about the type of love that you're not getting. But like I've said many times in this podcast, you decide who you give access to. And if the relationships that you're in are not adding to your life, if they're not adding benefit by whether or not you're becoming a better person, a healthier person, a happier person, a more stable person, if you're not learning about yourself in the world, then it's not worth it. And struggle love does not count as a learned lesson. Sometimes I'll talk to people or hear people talking about their stories, and they're like, yeah, I've learned so much through the things that we've been through together. And the things that they've been through together is 80% negative, if not 90. And they'll talk about it as if this is a relationship that is just strengthening them and making them stronger, because they're used to relationships that are stressful. They're used to relationships where there are more downs than ups. They're used to relationships where there is emotional labor on your behalf. They're used to relationships where even if there's a good moment, you had to go through 90% of hell before you got to the good moment. So of course it feels affirming to you. Of course it feels comfortable to you because it's just your trauma coming back again. Until your body gets to a place where it shuts down, to where your body is physically stressed, you start getting sick, you start mentally feeling anxious and depressed. You may be in that committed relationship that you've always wanted, and you may have this person, but are you actually able to sleep at night? Are you actually able to spend time with friends and have a full smile when you're doing it? You know, are there some costs that are related to being in these types of relationships? Right? These are things to keep in mind. So I'm talking about the ways that this no contact strategy can exploit your insecurities. The first one was desperation, exploiting your desperation of fear of missing out on them, missing out on love, missing out on, you know, the opportunity to be in a partnership because you don't believe and you don't know that you are able and you're deserving. And it is possible for you to find love that doesn't hurt and for you to find relationships that it doesn't have to be this hard.
We hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
The second exploit is your sensitivity to blaming yourself and thinking that these are just ways for you to learn how to be more understanding and for you to be more patient. When if this is the stuff that's happening, especially in the first 3 months, girl, it doesn't get better. The longer you're in relationships with a person, like this beginning part is supposed to be the honeymoon, right? Like this is how it is ideally going to be in this stage for a limited amount of time before y'all get into the humdrum of life. And then you'll get to renegotiate what it looks like now as a committed couple to find that joy and to find that spark. That's not me saying that a long-term relationship is always going to be humdrum, boring, and not fun. You know, we know the people who are in relationships with their best friends and they love it. They love it here, right? Like they don't understand when other people talk about how marriage and relationships are hard. They just don't get it, right? So that type of love exists, right? But if this person in this stage where they're supposed to be wooing you and impressing you are starting off with nickeling and diming you when it comes to attention, time, gifts, and access to them, then girl, that does not bode well for the future. And this is why it is so important to do the internal work to help you get to the other side of this, because this is probably illuminating a lot of people's stories right now, giving them insight to some patterns that have happened before, why it happened, some things that they missed along the way. But that doesn't necessarily make it easier for you to change your behavior, right? I've said this famously before many times on the podcast. When I first started my recovery process, I was already a trained therapist. And I was a good therapist, y'all. I was already a good therapist. My degree is in marriage and family therapy. I was helping people change their lives. I had a lot of insight about trauma and therapy. I was creating programs with every place that I worked and everything that I did. I was creating programs for parents and for kids and for couples that were changing their lives. I was good. I was good. I was very good. And yet, when it came to applying this type of understanding to myself, I had my own gaps, right? There were things that I could not see. No matter how much I knew it, I couldn't see it. And even if I could see it, when it came to being in the moment, it was really hard for me to change those patterns and to break those cycles. And it created a separate cycle of shame and of guilt and like, why do I keep doing this? And why can't I exit this relationship? And why can't I communicate? And why do I need this? And why am I ashamed that I need this, right? So it wasn't until I actually did the internal work that helped me push past this block of, I know what I want to do. I know what I should do or what I could do, but I can't get to the other side. Once I did the work and got help to work through that, in my case, the help looked like 12-step programs. I did some therapy, but none of that really worked for me. I was still at the same time at the end of it, dating a narcissist, someone who was recently separated, which was always on my list of no-no behaviors, and in a fantasy relationship with a really close friend of mine that I just made up in my mind that we would be perfect together. So I'd done recovery for years, and I had done really well, and I was in therapy, and that was still me on the other side of it. So I had to reverse engineer what was wrong between my knowledge therapeutically and what helped and didn't help in the recovery process to create what you're listening to now, to create the Black Girls Heal podcast and then the Love Addiction Recovery School. And that's when things started to change for me. So I'm telling y'all this because if you are at a place where you are trying to gather more knowledge and more skills to help you break these cycles, but it's still not changing, chances are you may need some extra support because there may be some things that you can't see and you don't know that you can't see. Of course, the Love Addiction Recovery School is available for you. You can learn about it by going to therecoveryschool.com. I'm enrolling ladies in my newest six-month cohort. The cohorts are back. I'm meeting with women at the time I'm recording this. I'm meeting with women weekly, which is back to what I used to do years ago with just extra support and extra guidance. And so we'll love to have you there. But yeah, we have to work on the trauma that gets in the way of us breaking these cycles and stops letting emotional neglect be the norm. So let's say you're dating someone who's using no contact as a strategy. You've heard all this. You're like, this is exactly what's happened. I don't want this anymore, but I already have feelings. And either you're in no contact with them by way of they're doing no contact with you. Now you're not doing it with them. They're doing it with you. Or they've just come back and you're like, that's why this has felt so icky. And I don't even know if I even want this anymore. What do I do? Okay, let's talk about it. So if this is a relationship, we'll do both. A relationship that you want to keep and one that you don't want to keep. Let's do the one that you're like, I don't like this. I don't like being strung along, whatever else. And I need to get out of this, but I really like them. I tend to coach and attract women in this community who are communicators. Your biggest skill and your biggest strength is wanting to communicate with people, right? The only thing is you tend to want to over-communicate with the people who don't really care about your feelings and what you need. And the people who actually do care are the ones that you are quicker to cut off or quicker to be the ones that they should have known better, right? Because they present healthier. So you give them less grace than you do the people who were just tearing you up emotionally and in your heart, right? The healthier people, they should have known better. So I'm not talking to them about what they need because they know what they're doing and they know that they've hurt my feelings. And so I'm just going to create distance. But the other people, you're like, well, I think I need to sit down with them and tell them what happened that hurt me. And, you know, and again, it comes from a good place because you can see that as someone who has some emotional intelligence gaps, but you're setting yourself up to either be hoodwinked or for someone to hurt your feelings because they may take it in and not do what you're asking for them to do. And now you feel rejected and now you feel exposed and now you feel really vulnerable. And it's going to be harder for you to want to do that in the future because you tried, right? You tried and got heartbroken. But let's say you're dealing with someone who is doing this strategy, or even if they're not intentionally doing it as a strategy, they've disappeared, right? But you want to keep them. For my communicators, I need to tell you something before I talk about communicating. The person that you want in your life is not anyone that you have to remind, hey, I'm still here. Hello, I'm still here. Now, this is hard for me to say, partly because I know through the ebbs and flows in life, it is hard. Like when we get into relationships with people, we're not signing up for someone to be our emotional support animal, right? This is another whole human being who has their own life. They have their own friends. They have their own job. They have their own hobbies. They have their own personality. They have their own rest cycle, right? So asking and requiring someone to be 100% available for you at the drop of a hat, and if they don't, that means that they don't love you, is a big reach, right? So that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is in the context of someone who is consistently, it is a pattern of them disappearing. It is a pattern of them forgetting to check in with you. it is a pattern of them when they find something that's more important to them or something that's their newest fixation that you get put on the back burner. This is a relationship where if there's one thing that has to go, you're always at the chopping, you're always on the chopping block at the top. That's what I mean with you don't want to be in a relationship with someone that you have to remind that you're there, that you have to remind that you're important, that you have to remind that you're valuable. That's not what we're calling in. That's not what we want to normalize, right? So if you find that you're consistently communicating with a person, a reminder to check in with you and that your needs are important, I want you to pay attention to how often this is happening. I want you to pay attention to what their responses are, even if their genuine responses are genuine and apologetic. Even if that happens to happen, are there any actions that follow it that show that they're not just going to do it again the next time? And all they have to do is sit through you having a deep conversation with them saying, hey, can we chat? Can we talk? And all they have to do is just nod and smile and look sad, look like they look a little bit restitute in what's been going on, and then you will let them go, right? Then they just got to sit through 40 minutes of conversation to be able to move on and get back to their game or get back to whatever it is that they want to do. So remember that. And if you want to communicate with them, in addition to paying attention to how often you have this, as far as how to have that communication, using I statements. I feel blank when you blank. Fill that in and then see what their response is. I feel unprioritized when you disappear for 4 days. Now, it is hard for me as a person who loves y'all and wants the best for y'all to even say that sentence, without me wanting to reach through the microphone to, you know, you remember The Simpsons, how Homer would strangle Bart to Homer strangle whatever man, whatever woman, whatever person is putting you through the ringer by disappearing for 4 days. I want to go full out. What is this? I just want to shake him. I just want to shake him. I tried. I'm not going to cut this out. I tried to give a neutral example of how to communicate to someone who has disappeared for 4 days. At this point, love, they are playing with you. There's no reason for someone to go completely ghost and disappear for 4 days and then come back and say, oh, I'm so sorry, I got caught up in work. You got caught up in work? Does work involve you being at the bottom of a mine where you don't know how to text or call or say, I love you, or I'm thinking about you, or send me a lunch? You know, you haven't been able to take me on a date, but send me a lunch because, you know, you want to know that I'm taken care of. Like, you can't DoorDash. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean being caught up in work? Get out of here. Get out of here. I can't. I tried, y'all. Y'all deserve so much better. You deserve so much better. Okay. Okay. Getting back. If this is a person that you want to stay with, I don't think you should. I don't. If this is a person that has disappeared on you and this is a pattern, I don't think you should. I probably shouldn't say that here on the podcast. That's probably my therapy training coming in saying don't tell people what to do exactly, but F it. I'm here as a coach. I don't think you should be with people who disappear on you for long periods of time, period. If you have a therapist that you love and other people who are around and know the situation and you trust the wisdom and judgment and they have more access to details and they want to give you another perspective, great, because I'm just one voice on the internet. But this voice says, bye. That's what I say. Unless, of course, their hospitalized or at the bottom of a mine, then yeah, right. Like if their mom has passed away, then you're not the priority right now, right? If they have been kidnapped and held for ransom, okay. But any other reason? Bye. And here's the thing, y'all. Here's the thing to keep in mind. Sometimes you can be in relationships with people who truly do love you and they want to be there for you. But what they're capable to give you does not match what you need. And I think that's where a lot of us get caught up at because maybe you're able to intuit that this is genuinely a nice person. This is not someone who's studying red pill people or pickup artists, and it's not a strategy. They just are ignorant of what it is that you want, or they are aware of what it is that you want, but they just can't. They don't have the time. They don't have the bandwidth. They don't have the desire. Like, for them, they may logically understand what it is that you need, but they really just don't have the effort and motivation to put that in. Then what y'all need to make relationship work doesn't match. And sometimes we meet really amazing, beautiful, incredible people that in another life, in another world, at another time, it would have been incredible. It would have been a love story for the ages, right? But that's not what it is right now. And you trying to hold on to make it happen is not going to make it happen. It takes two people to put in that work. You're willing to put in the work. You're willing to put in the work. You're willing to put in the patience. You're willing to put in the attentiveness to it. But are they? And if they aren't, you can't overcompensate. You can't overwork to compensate for the places that they are going to fall short in, because it's going to be depleting for you. Like I said earlier, it's going to make them start to lose some respect for you because they see you. The reason that they're with you, hopefully, is they see this amazing, charming, beautiful, intelligent, loving person. And they're not going to see your sacrificing of yourself as like this noble thing. So many of us grew up sacrificing ourselves and getting praise for it. And so we expect that if we get into relationships with people and sacrifice ourselves, that we'll get more praise. And that's not what happens in adult romantic relationships. The healthiest people that we do that with, they start to kind of feel sad for us. And they don't like that because they see what we're worth. They see our value even if we don't see our value. And they're like, girl, get it together. You deserve more than what I can give you, right? And that's an okay thing to say. And it's okay for you to move on. They may respect that even more. And the people who don't see the value in us and see us kind of groveling energetically are going to exploit that, right? And so we don't want to be in that position either. I think you deserve something else, but let's talk about what happens if you go into no contact, or the person goes into no contact with you. They disappear for a while and then they come back. Most of the time, they will always come back. They will either come back with a lame apology that is going to be non-satisfying, which I think is the worst part, especially if you've been dating someone and you feel like it's been going really well. They disappear and then they come back and apologize. The apology is never the truth. The apology, what would be the truth is, I was dating you, but I was kind of half into it, even though I gave all this attention. And then I decided that I didn't want to give the attention anymore. So I just took a break. And that's why I disappeared. But now I'm back. And I just want to say hello. That's telling the truth. The truth would be, I was dating you. I was really enjoying talking to you, but I was dating somebody else. That got busier. We went on a trip together and I had to focus on that because I'm not good at multitasking. And now we're back the Bahamas and I'm saying hi, but I'm also just saying hi just a little bit and not planning a date because I'm still trying to see what's going on with them. Right. That's the truth. The truth around, hi, I was dating, but I've actually been married this whole time and I had to lay low for a little bit because my wife is starting to get a little bit more suspicious around things, but now I've paid enough attention to her through the weekend and the last couple of days. So now she's back off my back. So now I'm saying hi, but I'm still kind of being cautious before I ask you out again because I can't be doing everything I used to do before, right? That's the truth, right? Or, hey, I've been having a really great time talking to you, but I really just wanted to see how far I could get and wanted to flirt with you. And we've slept together and it was great, but I'm a little bit bored. And so I need to kind of dissipate this because I see you getting really attached. And so I had to create some distance because I know I'm not going to be serious with this. Even though we have really great connection, I know I'm going to end up breaking your heart. So I think it's better for me to be distant for a few days to kind of slow the pace versus going ghost altogether because I still like you. But I just know I don't want to be in a committed relationship. They're not going to text you that. They're going to text you, yeah, I've been really busy with work. Hi, my dog got sick. You know, like, they're going to text you some BS excuses. And depending on where you are in your heartstrings, you may believe them. So this is another reason why I'm like, there's no, outside of those three examples I gave, I don't see a reason for someone to do no contact with you that you need to continue to talk with them because they're showing you that they're not available. Okay. If you have a problem finding people who are available for you, you need to get my book. It's called How to Pick Partners for Love Addicts by Sheena Lachey. And I'm giving you a clear step-by-step guide and method on how to find people who are available, how to be available yourself. What are the signs of availability? What are the signs of unavailability? What are the different levels of availability? Because there are some people who are built to be our best friends and our lovers and our partners. And there are some people who are just good for casual friendships. There are some people that are good for very close friendships, but not our best friendships. And there are some people that are strangers all up in our face and then secretly dangerous, and people who are extra dangerous, right? So we go through all the levels and how to calculate and tell who these people are. The book is available on Amazon, and I really, really hope that you find it helpful. Okay. Yeah, I did promise I was going to say something at the end for those who are listening for this up until this point, specifically for this about how to cope when it is a loved one that has been a lover, a friend, a partner that has decided to go no contact with you. And it feels very hurtful. First, I just want to say, I'm so sorry as someone who has been on the receiving end of that, because the scenario that I'm talking about is someone goes into no contact and you don't know why or where or what happened and what drove them to want to do that with you. And so you're left with spending with like, what happened and what could I have done differently and all that other stuff, right? And especially if you're someone who is open to growth and you're open to hearing your stuff, you know, it's, you know, cause you can hear what they want to, what they have to say and either be like, yeah, that tracks and that's something that I can grow in. Or you can be like, actually that I don't align with that, or I could see that, but that's not something I can give to you. And either way, it's a goodbye, but at least you feel a little bit better about it. So not being able to know what happened or why and to be treated as a villain is hurtful on so many levels and for so many ways, right? So whatever the scenario is for you, I just want to encourage you to feel the pain and feel the grief and feel the sadness and feel the unfairness, feel the rage that might come up too with being in a what feels like a powerless situation. But I want to say something to you that has worked some of the time for me. Maybe more often than not, but it's not 100% perfect. Because again, the people, if you're listening for this part specifically, the person that you're hoping to hear some insight about is someone that you've deeply loved, right? Like this isn't someone that if you could have forgotten about them and not cared about them not talking to you anymore, you would have done it already. You wouldn't be caring about this portion of the podcast, but you do. You love them very much. So that love is real. So the thing that has helped me sometimes, more often than not, is remembering that your ideal relationships, your ideal people who are here for you would not just give up on you. They will not just go ghost. They will not just disappear. And you deserve love. You deserve relationships with people who communicate, with people who communicate, who want to work through things with you, that want to grow together with you, that, you know, they talk about how when you break a bone and it heals stronger. Right? So conflict is not an indicator that there is something wrong in a relationship. It actually may be a marker for a deeper growth. And so we want those relationships that stand the test of time and people that are not going to be so easy to give up on us. You deserve love and relationships with people that don't just give up on you. And so it's not a sign that you were not good enough or that your relationship didn't matter. It's more of a sign of where this person is and where they is, are, or were. As someone who can't really show up in relationships, someone who doesn't really know how to communicate, someone who might be more emotionally immature than maybe they know or maybe you know, and someone who wasn't in it for the long haul, someone who was there just for themselves. Now, of course, it's me talking to you, right? On their end, they may be getting advice from somebody else. Like it is completely possible that there's someone listening in the ether and in the atmosphere who's listening to this, who's been in no contact with a friend, and that friend listened to the exact podcast and heard me say on a different one, like, you don't deserve to be with relationships with people who, you know, don't value you, right? So the truth sometimes is depending on who's talking and who's listening. But it's actually someplace in the middle, actually. Either way, my point is for your deeper friendships, the ones that are for you, I think love is worth a chance. I think love is worth a conversation. And I think that's platonic love. I think that's familial love. I think that's romantic love. I think it's worth talking to the person about what's going on to see if you can fix it. And if you can't fix it, then you make a decision. But if you can, I think it's worth being vulnerable and letting that person see you and see how and where you were hurt and what you, before you give up on months, years, decades of a relationship. And I think you're deserving of a person who has that skill set to be able to do that. And I pray that you get the type of relationship that you lost in tenfold with a person who has all those skills and has everything that you need, and that you are a great match for what they need as well, and that that part of your heart gets restored. Okay? So that is it for today's episode. I'm sending you all so much love, and I look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you're ready to work through all these blocks that stop you from putting down boundaries with someone who is doing these type of pickup strategies with you, if you're ready to clear any trauma that's related to this or any other bad behavior that you take in relationships, if you're ready to work through your own trust issues and to learn how to have healthy relationships to get the love and life that you want, please join the Love Addiction Recovery School. It's a 6-month program that has helped so many women and make significant changes in just a few months that usually takes years to make. So we'll love to see you there. You can find out more by going to therecoveryschool.com, and I'll see you on the other side. As always, take care of yourselves.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tap. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See Home Club for details.